The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Actually, I mentioned News Talk Breakfast. They also spoke to the Green Party Deputy Leader this morning, Róisín Garvey. All the party thinkings are on. So all these politicians now are appearing everywhere, popping up. And there's an election around the corner as well, so they want to get out front and centre. Anyway, Róisín was on News Talk Breakfast to talk about comments she had made at their thinking around kids being driven to school. And she said, listen, this is one of the reasons children today are so unhealthy and so overweight, is being put in the car to be driven effectively across the road. With me to discuss, Grace O'Malley, Clinical Lead with Children's Health Ireland for the Child and Adolescent Obesity Service. Grace, you're very welcome to the show. I don't think it's fair maybe to judge Róisín Garvey on a headline, but I assume the reality is more complicated than kids are overweight today because they're getting lifts.
Well, we know sedentary time, so sitting time, is a huge component of gaining weight. So, you know, I think it's good to unpack these things. So a headline is a headline, but actually the information behind it is important. So sedentary time, we know, contributes, and so does inadequate physical activity. And we know that about 35% of secondary school students in Ireland actively travel to school. So that might be walking or cycling, and about 43% of primary school kids. Now, obviously, some children are not able to actively travel to school because there's no roads. There might be no safe roads to cycle on or walk on. There might be no path in the area they are in. But other children and teenagers do have the capacity and ability to actively travel to school. So that's really important in terms of, I suppose, for what the Green Party are trying to do in terms of cycling and walking.
Yeah.
But physical activity is essential for children's health and development. And I think, you know, it's been engineered out of their lives often. And we have to really understand that kids need to move so that they can build their heart tissue, their lung tissue, their bones, and their mental health as well. So we separate out physical activity and sedentary time. They're two distinct things. So sitting is very different to actually moving, and they're not the two sides of one coin. Sedentary time is really important for obesity because it does two things. It can increase our blood pressure anyway when we're sitting too much. Physical activity, people often think of it just on one side of a scale, so it's energy in and energy out.
Yeah.
What we know now from research is that actively moving, yes, it burns energy, but more importantly, it actually sends signals to the brain about appetite control. So we know that children and adults who are more sedentary, their ability to sense being full or being hungry is dampened.
Oh, really?
So they tend to feel more hungry. So the more sedentary you are, that's
kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? That the less you're moving, the more hungry you might feel.
Well, you see, if you think of it in a very linear way, it's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But our body is always trying to conserve energy. Like, that's what our primal instinct is. It's actually to retain energy, not to waste energy. So if we're not moving, just that signaling pathway doesn't work as well. So we actually tend to be hungrier. So that's really important for people to know. So for children under
is it manifestation of that? Because just people, I think, listening to this will be familiar with this feeling. Where you're kind of doing nothing. You're having one of those days where you're lazing around and you can't stop eating. And another day where you're kind of on the go, you don't notice that you've gone kind of 3 or 4 hours really without eating anything.
Yeah, so your body isn't able to sense its ability to be satiated as well when you're sitting a lot. So for children under 5, we really need to be limiting sitting to 1 hour a day. Now, that's impossible for children under 5 are usually not in school, but kids over 5, obviously, we have sanctioned sitting, so that's a problem. But there's a lot of initiatives in schools now to break up that sitting and get kids moving and do walking in a mile or doing PE, that type of thing. But in general, children and adolescents and adults as well, 2 hours a day of sitting time, particularly in a row, is known to be related to gaining weight and to having higher blood pressure and all of these other health factors. So we think of two things. We think of how much are we sitting and how much are we moving, and they're two different things to consider. So for kids, we need children under 5 years of age, they need 3 hours of movement per day. That's all in little blocks. And then for the children over 5 to 18, we're looking for an hour a day. And that's just for basic health and development. Yeah. So obesity is another kind of factor to think about. But we do know that overall in most countries in the world, we do have rising rates of obesity. In Ireland, we have about 1 in 5 primary school children and 1 in 4 adolescents who are living with overweight or obesity. And our environment has a massive impact on that. So we do have to look at how is our environment built? Does it promote walking and cycling to school? There's countries like Germany where people would be absolutely shocked if you drove your child to school in a village or a town setting. It would be shocked. They'd be shocked by it. Whereas in Ireland, we kind of expect it or accept it. Now, in rural Ireland or in parts of neighbourhoods where, and this is in Dublin as well, you have places that have apartments and houses built with no paths. So there might be a path for just to the outside of the estate, and then there's just grass verges. We have to look at the planning law and how we have health in every policy so that we have to be able to being able to play.
What factor, though, has changed when you look at those kids today compared to the same kids 30 years ago? Because the same issues would have applied around getting to school. Lots of them were on buses. Lots of them were getting lifts. Lots of them would have been living in places where they didn't have an option to walk or cycle to school. And still the obesity rates or the rates of ill health weren't what they are today.
Yeah, well, sedentary time was definitely less.
Yeah.
Kids were playing outside more.
Sleeping
more as well. Outside of school, they were maybe more involved in sports. Now, the most recent sports and activity survey that was completed in Ireland in 2022 was showing actually that sports participation was pretty good in terms that there was about 76% of primary school children engaged in sport at least once a week, and secondary school was about 74%. So once a week children are engaging in sport. That's probably PE. I'd have to look deep kind of with a fine tooth comb into that survey to see did that also include PE when they defined what sport was. But we know that children who are involved in after school programs have a less likelihood to develop obesity as well. So participation is really important, but it cannot be the case where it's only for people who can afford it. And often in Ireland, after school clubs are pretty expensive and they're not available for everybody. Or equally, if you're living in a neighbourhood where you have to, if you're in a rural part of the country, you have to travel by car. So, we have to travel by car, but thinking about car sharing is one thing. Thinking about using buses, thinking about, for any parents listening, if I have flexible work arrangements, could I actually walk my primary school children to school? If not, two ways, so there and back, could I do it one way?
Yeah.
Can a minder, if the child is in childcare, can they do a walking bus? Can the parents' association in the school consider a walking bus or a cycling bus, depending on where they are in the country? We have to all at our own local level have a discussion about how can we get more movement? Because we know that children perform better in school, better mental health levels, and their better physical health if we can get them moving more.
Has there been a culture change as well in terms of the regard we have as parents for just unstructured outdoor play?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, I think it's there's more of a fear maybe about unstructured time. There's more pressure on parents to have kids involved in everything.
Well, I think there's more fear, full stop, Grace. A lot of parents will tell you, I couldn't let them out to kind of just play on the street on their own. Sure, the streets are so dangerous now. They're going to be kidnapped or run over by a car or abducted.
Yeah, and in some neighbourhoods, it can be dangerous for children to play outside. And that's something we encounter quite a lot with the patients that come into our service. So that does exist, but it's probably not the majority of children. And if parents are worried about that, maybe go out with them, sit on the wall themselves or watch. It depends on the age group, obviously. But we do need kids to be getting outside. And then I suppose we have to be thinking about sitting time as well. And I suppose just shifting our mindset about movement and play. And that kids, I know when I walk down, now I'm able to walk my child to school because it's a short walk and I'm close to the school, so it's feasible for me. But I do see every car with one teenager often going to the secondary school, the teenagers in the front on their phone, the parents driving them. And I think, what am I going to do when I'm at that point? And I really feel like I'm going to have a no phone ban in the car in the morning if I did have to drive my child to secondary school.
Oh yeah, so tell them they can look at their phone while they walk, and I tell you, they'll all be walking to school in the morning. There'll be none of them in the car.
Or if we could power their phone by walking.
Oh yeah, that's a great
idea.
That
might help. That's a new app for somebody to develop.
The phenomenon as well of fear I mentioned exists around the roads as well, and people, and it kind of strikes me, it's a bit kind of which came first, the chicken or the egg, a version of it, that parents understandably see the grid, they see the amount of cars on the road, and they're fearful of their kids trying to kind of weave in and out of them. At the same time, those same parents are causing it, and listen, I include myself in that as well. You kind of sit in the car and you give out about the amount of cars on the road.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's always so nuanced because it depends where you're living and how you have to go to school. So when I have had the chance to be cycling to work, for example, things changed incredibly quickly when there was a huge amount of road work being done, and it just got too unsafe for me to cycle. So I felt I just had to stop cycling. And that was just because of the amount of road works. And you just get sometimes a sense as well of the road being much more dangerous than it was. So on the one hand, as drivers, we have to be more tolerant to cyclists. Cyclists have to be much better at probably not being on their phone when they're cycling, not texting, paying attention to traffic lights, you know, having better cycling skills. Children probably need to be taught safe cycling skills in school at a young age when they're actually learning how to ride a bike. And then we have to balance risk with actually exposure. So we need children to be able to cross the road safely, and the only way they learn how to do that is first of all with their parents, and then learning how to use roads, paths, you know, whether they're walking or cycling. So it's a conundrum for parents, because you want to protect your child, but you also need to project to the future and protect their health. So it's like, in the here and now, how do I try and keep them safe, but how do I actually build habits that will stay with them for the rest of their lives and hopefully keep them as active as possible?
Yeah,
it's hard.
It is hard.
But I think that's the thing about these issues. Like, it's good. Thank you for the invitation, because it's important to kind of tease it out and unpack it, and not just take a headline and think, oh well, just because people are driving that they're getting overweight. Like, it's one factor in the complex system. But we have to consider it. We have to think, how can we get children out of cars that don't need to be in them? And now we have many children driving themselves to secondary school. I mean, that's a whole other thing that
it is a whole other thing that didn't exist when I was younger. A few lads had a moped, maybe by 6 years. That was about the size of it. Lots of people getting in touch. I'll get to some of them in a minute, but a few people kind of pointing out that this is impossible in Ireland because of the weather. Which is that people always overestimate how much it rains in Ireland. I think I remember somebody from Met Aaron saying, at any given hour, in any given hour in Ireland during the year, there's about a 5% chance of rain, which means 95% chance it's not going to be raining. The likelihood is, when you set off in the morning, it's not going to rain, regardless of the time of year you do it. You might get wet some days, but it's drier than people give Ireland credit for. Anyway.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.